pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted that there are many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. The month of May is observed as the Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to raise awareness of and reduce the stigma surrounding behavioral health issues, as well as to highlight the ways how mental illness and addiction can affect all of us, patients, providers, families, and society at large. In keeping with this, our guest today is Seema Rekha, the Managing Director of Antarman Consulting Private Limited, with a wide experience in utilizing wellness solutions for business development and strategizing for several Fortune 500 companies across India, ASEAN, and UAE. Seema Rekha has also been awarded the Outstanding Leadership Award presented at Health 2.0 conference held in Dubai in 2022. She's a passionate and versatile management consultant known for her kaleidoscopic approach to bringing comprehensive solutions to her client organizations. Her background from IIM Lucknow, Institute of Counseling, Glasgow, European Management Consultancy, and TISS highlight the scope of advancement in areas such as employee well-being, psychological safety at the workplace, research and organizational development strategies. A research and development approach aimed at improving the organizational health index has proven to render sustainable results for client organizations. Her extensive research and result-driven work strengthens the vision, which becomes the guiding light of her diverse team at Antarman. Listen in as she shares her fascinating journey, the ups and downs in this mental wellness space. Hi, Seema. It's so wonderful to finally catch up after, I think, a year now.
Yes, things has been little here and there. I'm sure it's so lovely to finally being there. I'm sure it is one of the most cherished podcasts in our group. Somebody's doing it. It's so wonderful.
Thank you. And welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. The format is we go to little Seema and then come to Seema Rekha that the world knows you today as. So what has your journey been like, Seema?
So Rashmi, I was born in Jhansi, which is a very small town, and it is known for Jhansi Ki Rani. So probably some traits from her. But once I go back and look at little Seema, she was no different than this Seema. Maybe a miniature of this. A person who always thought herself as a person, not as a girl or a woman or a man or something. I always thought, you know, that genderlessness, and that's where, since childhood, I'm fearless. And I never felt that, you know, world, just because I'm a woman, will not, you know, give me enough opportunities. And that sense of self helped really me to explore life beautifully without having any grudges with people around me, with society. That's what made my journey a little easier, because I never felt that I was a little lesser, even being a child. The first thought I remember as a child, what I did not like is that people were treating me as a child. They were not respecting my opinion. Whereas at that moment also, I thought my ideas are better than theirs. So that was a little suffocating as a child. But I was always, you know, doing something or other thing other than my core thing, which is academics. I was in grade 7, 6 only, so I started teaching young children going through YMCA, which was one of our program in the school. I used to go to Jugi Jhopri and I used to teach children there. Whatever is the initiative in the school, I was the first one to participate without food and standing for hours. So that is how I always enjoyed being in something. And that gave me really a great strength. But yes, one thing I have realized that while growing up, once you are ahead of time, you might have a great sense of self, but you don't have a great self of belongingness. You don't belong to any place. It's not about people. You yourself do not belong to any place. And maybe your calling keeps calling you. Sometimes we take the path known to us and then reach to a calling. That happened to me. And I coming from, our community is a caste community. We have never, seen anything other than education. Education, literature, culture is highly, highly important for us. In other communities, saying this, kaist ka bachcha pada bhala ya mara bhala. If you're not educating yourself, well, rather, one should die. It is a matter of shame. So the home environment and culture was very, very educational and literature centric. And then my both parents were working. If I saw myself as a child, I had two siblings, but they were elder to me. So I had a very, loner kind of childhood. At that moment, I used to feel that, this is once I'll grow, I will not be, working. I will be a stay-at-home mom. But, I was always surrounded by very good books, very, very good book. I used to read a lot. And I think that all strength, that all positive attribute towards life had come from those books. So that helped me to have a, better picture of life always. If it is not good, then it is not end. There is always another chance. So I am, very, very optimistic about life or about everything. I think that fuel helps me to grow each day. Because there are always setbacks in your life. We are surrounded with so many people and we transact energy with, our close family members. Now I have a teenager daughter and of course extended families, your own parents, your friends, your siblings. There's a huge, huge world around us. I think that positivism really helps me to move forward always.
So apart from books that you had, Seema, from where you picked the positivity, how were you in school as a student? Were you one of the toppers, teacher's favorite,
I was
absolutely an all-rounder? Was it outstanding in the literal sense?
academic achievements were the highest priority for us. I was always one of the toppers. In fact, it was always, you said very rightly, teachers used to say, I wish I had a chance to give you one mark more. So that's there. And teachers' motivation, of course, it works with children. Whatever we are, it is indeed a voice of our teachers and our parents. So whatever the self-esteem we have now, it is an outcome of how our teachers and parents build motivation into us. In that matter, I have been really very lucky. My grandparents, my father, they are, such a positive person and always motivate. Even if they acknowledge your smaller achievements and will make you feel like you are a queen, you can do everything. So that confidence, I think it was coming from family, school environment.
Wow.
And then, I actually, the core was, thinking, having a good view of life and mutual respect. Differences are there, but still we can, be with each other. So those, I think those, the books give you a character strength for sure. And if you are surrounded by good people, so again, you learn a lot. And I must say, I won't say that, there were no setbacks, but I'm lazy. So my mental laziness really helps me a lot because I don't pay any attention to what is not serving to me. If anything not serving to my mental peace, I discard that completely. So it's not that we didn't have teachers who did not hurt me or parental experiences or whatever. It was there, very much there. But the strength of focusing on what is serving, what is making you happy is more important than by sulking what is not working in your favor. So that strength really helped a lot to, you know, let go so many bitter memories, you know, and re-establishing the trust with the people. Because once you are able to let go, you are also able to forgive them. You are also, it is coming deeply from empathy. That is how we become empathetic. We think by being compassionate, we are empathetic. No. Compassion would be a seed to be an empathetic, but empathy is very different for compassion. So maybe, you know, probably this character is coming from my mom, that I used to go in the root of the words and try to find out the meaning. So I redefined so many words for me. For example, loyalty for me is not that you are staying longer with me than you are loyal to me. For me, loyalty is if you're nurturing me, then we are loyal to each other. If we are able to nurture each other, then we are loyal. Probably you are not seeing another girl, but you are hitting me, then we are not loyal to each other. So I have changed so many definition in my, you know, circle. So definition, I used to go inside and I used to think, you know, this, for example, discipline. Not many people think, you know, being in routine is discipline. I completely discard the idea of this. Routine is different and discipline is a very mind game. You can stay in routine, but you might not be successful. In fact, sometimes routine kills your creativity. At times, routine makes you a rigid person because your body clock will not support for any adaptability. I think mental agility is very important for being self-disciplined. So then I redefined so many things for myself. And then working in the same field of mental wellness and people development helped me to redefine so many words, which really help. While healing others, you heal yourself, ideally.
Oh,
so
my
that's
God.
How the journey happened.
This is so interesting. And I want to know, let's take a step back from what the mental health and mental wellness space that you are in now. We'll come back there. But since you were very good in studies, wasn't it a natural fit that you move into engineering, medicine, or those kind of fields where everyone who does well in studies moves? What was your higher studies post school? What did you do in college and then on?
So I was actually, you know, always thinking what all parents think, that I will go into medicine, but due to, you know, certain conditions, then I have to change my path from medicine to management. So after that, you know, I joined IIM Lucknow in the space of research, and thankfully I got good professors under whom I worked into designing strategies, entrepreneurship and innovation. So that experience, and since professors were designing real time, they were giving consulting to so many, you know, government departments like passport office and then Indian Labor, ILO, International Labor Organization, then some BSL, which was into banking. So working with different professors in different capacity widened my horizon to think. Once, you know, in consulting, you were doing end-to-end everything under their supervision. So there was a great mentorship course there. And that's helped me to understand the nuances of, you know, overall business. So I learned about the finances. I learned about, once we doing process re-engineering, how many, you know, brain wavelength has required. And that is where the idea of team comes in. Because one person cannot do everything, how smart, how intelligent you are, but you need different brains. And, you know, working with different people with different qualities and different weaknesses also, that makes us complementary. In fact, in life, we always keep looking for similar people. And we think that is the sense of belongingness, whereas the world goes with the complementary thing. It might sound conflicting even to us, but they are very, very complementary. And that wisdom came from there. And then acceptance towards world and people became very, very natural. Because, you know, people think differently, and that difference might help you in a better way. So that strength helped me a lot. And after that, I joined a management consultancy, and I really enjoyed thoroughly there. But of course, you know, management consultancy does not allow you work-life balance. So I also think, you know, that somewhere I was also stressed for a number of reasons. I had a smaller, younger child. Then I studied back in psychology, and since I was coming from that background before, also from medicine and all, it helped me to understand a little more. And my mentors at hospital, he was a general surgeon, and he always used to say, you know, we don't treat a disease, we treat a human. So that, you know, that was a great click to me, because I always had this pain that, you know, I always wished to be a pediatrician from AIIMS. So I couldn't do that because of the certain family situations at that moment. So that, you know, that pain was there, that I would have been a pediatrician from AIIMS, that, you know, I would have changed my country for good. And I am very much my country person, you know, pehle desh, baki sesh. That's my core thing. So that pain was there. But then once, you know, I spoke my mentor, Alan, who taught me in Glasgow, he helped me to overcome my pain of not being a pediatrician. So he helped me that, you know, why you wish to be a pediatrician. So reasons was obvious, you know, position, money, respect in the society, and fourth was helping people. So he said, you have everything now. You have position, you have money, you have respect in the society. The fourth thing is missing, that you are not able to help a larger population. So this was your myth, that by pediatrician only you can help the world. You can help the world by being a good counselor also. A thoughtful counselor who is redesigning their life beautifully. He also told me that, you know, while you will be addressing crowds, people might not respond back to you, but there will be one person who will be transforming because of you, and that is your success. So don't look for the crowd. Just go and help people. And one day, you will belong to this world back. And I think Ellen, since he was so experienced, it really did help. I started working with, you know, underprivileged children under a tree and gender sensitization workshops, because Nirbhaya case, actually it shook me very, very, you know, heavily, being a mother of a child, girl child. It was painful for me. So then, you know, I started the gender sensitization in underprivileged area of Gurgaon. So I started working with so many NGOs, around 10, 12 NGOs. I started going there. Then one of the, you know, corporate spotted me there. They were there for their CSR. And the way I was explaining gender sensitization to young children, they were highly impressed. So they invited me for, you know, their office. And my first project began from there. And they gave me, you know, so much of tasks consistently. There is still my, you know, it's been 10 years. There is still my clients. And then journey began. And meanwhile, you know, I was with the hospital. With the help of hospital, I conducted probably, you know, 100 plus workshops on awareness on mental health in corporate organizations, institutions, government institutions. So that also helped me to, you know the diverse population of, you know, different setup. And the customization of program helped me to understand more about my work. And then, you know, around, you know, 6 years back, the corporate started understanding that mental health should be beyond EAP helpline. So that's where, you know, Gurgaon, since it's a hub of corporate organization, had started calling us. And since then, we keep adding number of clients with us. Coming from a management background really helps me to align wellness solutions with HR policies, with people solutions rather. So the insights we generate through wellness, it helps us to, you know, give a right recommendations for our client. We are able to design their entire year strategy into people wellness and people solutions. So we also design their training and development, learning and development, and organizational development strategies with them. So very, you know, we are highly involved with our clients, and then results are visible. In a quarter with our interventions, you know, we get a very, very positive feedback from our clients. And that's how, you know, they are always a repeat client. Every year we renew our tenure with them. Yeah. So that's how it is. And over this journey, thankfully, God has been kind. I got a great team members. So whatever I am today, I'm because of my team members. They put their heart and soul the way I put in my work. So they are equally passionate. And irrespective of, any geography, somebody sitting in London, somebody sitting in Ireland, somebody's in Canada, we all, find a mutual time to sit together to co-create things. So that passion is matchless.
Oh my God, Seema, you've covered so much in this answer. First of all, very blessed to have a mentor like that who gave you the right advice at the right time and made you understand that you can always make a difference. It doesn't have to be in one particular way. And that's how you got into counseling. But you're talking mental health now, where everyone is open about it. People acknowledge, especially post-pandemic, during the pandemic, people realize that mental health is an issue that we are not addressing. But you went into mental health long before that. Now, the time pre-pandemic, pandemic, post-pandemic, what have you noticed about mental health and the awareness and the openness towards it, and any story that you have, or stories that you have, which you feel you can share here?
Thanks. Lovely question, Rashmi. If I tell you honestly, the first 5 years were very, very difficult. Not that people were not acknowledging our work, but they were not ready to pay for it. I have done, so many FOC free of cost workshops for 5 years. Because I knew my, goal and my commitment, and I knew the one day world will understand. See, awareness works very beautifully. You remember we used to have so many AIDS cases before. Now with awareness, it has been, declining for years now. So that was very clear to me that, my efforts will not go into vain. One day world will realize what I'm doing is priceless. And initially, of course, I did not have much knowledge about it. And my client used to ask me, Seema, what should be the cost of this program? I always used to say, what I do is priceless. So what you can pay, you decide it. It is about your affordability. It is not about the quality and the price. I can't put any price to my work. Whatever you suggest, we are okay with this because we are on a mission. So that's how, the clients keep adding to our kitty. But yes, there is a huge difference. Before, if I talk about corporate first, in corporates, EAP was just a tick mark before. Post-pandemic, people have realized that, reactive mental health solutions would not support any organization. But still, there is a long way because people think wellness is an arm of the organization, whereas wellness, mental wellness particularly, is the core of any organization. Because we don't deal with robots, we deal with human. And as we grow, we are not doing nothing, we're just handling others' ego. And to handle others, it is so important to become self-aware first. If you're not aware, you can't be aware about the environment. And that's where mental well-being on an individual level is highly, highly important. There are certain organizations which are recognizing it, and results are phenomenal. But yes, there is a cost country because people are still being wellness strategy is a HR strategy, or it is engagement or something. No, it is a business strategy. Wellness strategy is your business strategy. It will decide how long you will sustain beautifully and remain profitable. But world will take some time. Of course, awareness has increased. Earlier ones, once I'm coming to, teenagers. Earlier teenagers used to say to their parents they are not doing well. First, they never had that courage to go back to their parents. Now with awareness, even if they are going to their parents, parents used to discard it. But now parents try to bring them. The best part is in pandemic, we were working with the Haryana and UP government. Used to get the maximum calls from teenagers. How COVID had impacted teenager is still, so underrated. We think that phase had gone over. But working with teenagers, we are realizing that how much painful, it is for them. Remember, I just say I never used to feel belong to any place. Children are going through the same phase. They have been, confined in one room. They have lost connect with their parents. They are meeting different people on internet, but probably wrong people as well. digital detoxes, which is very high. Virtual autism is, coming on surface. So that's where, I spoke to so many clinicians, so many leaders, and myself. We all collated our coping strategy. How did we, manage our teenage, including some, physical wellness, mental wellness, emotional wellness, mindfulness, yoga. That's where we have curated a 3 days, residential program only dedicated to teens, because they are going through a lot. We really wish them to live in a year, a place where there is no internet. It is just they are in nature and, going back to insight, understanding self and building better relationship with their parents and preparing themselves for the future. So college is not going to be easy. Of course, job, as a parent, we can protect them in school and college. But what after that? I won't write to her HR that treat my daughter well. So that's what, this pain was very much there. And I thought, this is a huge area to address. So we started by YMHA, which is Young Mental Health Advocate Program in pandemic only. After successful programs, we have delivered around 4 or 5 virtual batches. So then we started the advanced courses in a residential program, and it is running also. The next batch is coming on 28th May. So we are trying to support children as much as we can do. But despite all saying that, Rashmi, there is a long way to go to mental health. Once it is coming to mental health, we are so restricted with anxiety and depression. But there is so much, beyond that. And my agenda, my mission is that, before you fall that side of that borderline of mental health, prevent yourself much before. So that's why we are really living in a blessed world where now people are acknowledging ancient sciences again. They are acknowledging meditation, mindfulness, and even life coaching. This also helps, to reduce self-stigma. The social stigma attached to mental health is still prevalent. So instead, people might prefer to go to a life coach than a psychologist or a psychiatrist. That's not a bad beginning, I think. So it's good that, at least everybody's thinking about, talking about well-being. That itself is a huge achievement. And the second, I think the support right now the government is putting on these initiatives is also very high. So thankfully, this is evident, the digitization of Indian economy is so beautiful. So these all support also from government is also helping us to, reach out to grassroots and helping them individually in a low cost. So that's a plus point.
Okay. And any specific moment, Seema, in this with these youngsters that you're interacting with or with senior people in the corporates where you realized that, yes, I'm on the right path? Any specific incident that you hold really dear to your heart, which told you?
There are so many incidents, so many which are very overwhelming also. Very overwhelming for, me also. I being a very, empathetic and compassionate person. There's so many stories, but I will today, talk about a very practical, story which can help so many people in their life. So generally, before, starting the story, I wish to put a disclaimer that, we are obsessed with listening to stories and everybody is ready to narrate their story, but I really want to put a disclaimer. Everyone is so unique, and your story is also so unique. Whatever worked for me might not work for you. So this is just to motivate you people, not for, saying that what I have done is right. I had my own share of challenges, and then I overcame them. That's why I can vouch it. Whoever is listening to this podcast is far more capable of what they think of. So in corporate world, lot many people come with their smaller problems, but the underlying issues are very different. So underlying issues, sometimes it could not be the mental health of a particular person, but it is about the organizational health index. Different industry, you will find different challenges. For example, in BPO industry, if you see homegrown leaders do well, then the lateral leaders. So then, you know, once you go to the year their inside psyche, there are a number of things. How did they, you know, their childhood, how did they start their journey, and what path, you know, the stage of career path they are. So these things actually play huge role in making their decisions. So mental health is not, you know, just about one time effort. It is 24/7. It is impacting our life 24/7. So as with children, unknowingly we don't, you know, unknowingly, all parents think best for their children, but unknowingly they do things which actually work against all that. So that is there, and children specifically, I have some moments, you know, which is very, very disheartening. I know there was you know, it was, I think, 5, 6 years back before COVID. A child has written an email to us. They might have found us on social media. He sent me an email that his friend is not doing well. So I could not open the email, and his friend committed suicide. So that really, you know, I felt very bad that I could have opened email on time. And that's where I thought the response time is very important in mental health. People are coming to you with so much of courage. You cannot operate at your ease. Once you say, you have to make your response time very prompt. And then I committed to myself. I hired more than people I required. And our response time is now 1 minute. We actually respond to any call, any CISD team responds within a 1 minute. We try to reach out. There's so many incidents, you know, during COVID also. And we realized that, you know, the response time is very, very important for someone. How much courage they gather and come to you. So it's very important that we help them within the time limit. So that was something overwhelming, which shook me that, you know, the way I was operating at convenience of mine, which was not the right approach. We should get rid of it. And there are so many good stories also. I remember there was a 68-year-old, you know, very, very anxious old woman was there, and her husband always took care of her very beautifully. And she met me only once. She was very sick, so she came to hospital. I met her. We had a long chat around, you know, 2, 3 hours. And then, you know, she went. And once her next appointment was there, she did not appear. Her son's email came to me that, you know, my mother passed away on the same day she spoke to you. But I have never seen my mother ever happy in her life. The day she was happy, at peace, and at ease, the day she spoke to you. She died at peace because of you. So thank you so much. So that day, yes, I really felt, you know, and I wish like to tell you, I only charged at that moment in hospital, I only used to get 80 rupees for that patient, you know, for any patient. But you know, that's what I say. It's not about money at all. That impact which, you know, I created in one's life was far more than, you know, no amount of money can ever justify what we do. So I think there are so many such incidents which make us, you know, really proud of us. Frankly, I am able to sleep now peacefully than before. So that is, I think that's the biggest success I have achieved in those years. And so is my team. They also feel very proud of themselves for what they are doing. So that's there.
Yeah. And you're so right, Seema. The fact that you're so authentic and vulnerable to share a moment that you hold so close to your heart. Thank you so much for finding the space safe enough for that. But it's very true. When somebody approaches with an ask, the response should be immediate, and you never know how urgent it is. So, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so very true. Now, since you say that you are somebody who loves words and likes to go to the base of it, It's a very, maybe a very basic question, but I thought it fit here to ask you this. Is there a difference between mental health or health versus well-being? The two are intermixed so many times, and but individually they mean two different things. So can you clarify health versus well-being on a general scale for us?
For a generic, terms, health can be, talk about absence of disease or, but well-being is little more than that. Somebody can, I have so many patients, those who have cancer, but they are very well, their mental strength is so high. I remember one of my patients shared her story that after the counseling sessions, she started, giving the right energy to her chemotherapy. Chemotherapy, which gives so much of side effect, she got rid of her all other problems other than even cancer. Her arthritis became good. So she said, I just, changed my self-talk and narratives. And even chemotherapy, which is known as one of the, treatments which will give you more side effect than the direct effect, actually changed for her. And she thought, we just discussed, just consider this as a divine, flow is going in your body and you are, recovering. And she recovered so well. So this is the difference between health and wellness. I have so many people who have kidney issues. So they go walk by themselves and get their, this, what do we call, dialysis done and come back. They're very, very well. So well-being is more than, your bodily thing. It is more than your thought. How do you see yourself with your ailments and your flaws? So well-being is a little wider term than health. On paper, we can't say that person is healthy.
Thank you. And now, with the work on mental health that you've been doing, there is so much work that you've gone beyond the borders of India as well. So, can you tell us about your journey as far as mental health and well-being is concerned and how you spread your wings so wide?
So we begin with, under the tree only, and that one of the engineering organizations identify us, and that journey of, building awareness in all sphere of workplaces I did. And then, the best organization, the Fortune 500 organizations, were thinking about keeping wellness strategies at that phase. They have tried to, reach out to so many people, but there was no other name than me. So, we got a, tie-up with those organizations, and that's where we started, working together. And it just spread it with the word of mouth. Since, our work is more organizational goal-centric, we align a wellness strategy with the organizational goals. So it was more beneficial to our clients, and then in the industry, they talk about our work, then other people reached out to us. That is how, with word of mouth, we got the work. And once our client were developing into different countries, once they started their new offices in different countries in Southeast Asia, so obviously we scaled up with them. We also hired people. Over this period, we understand this, we have to think beyond a clinical mindset. We were not running a clinic. We have to understand we were running an organization. So then we started a full, organizational structure. The training department is different. Quality department is different. There's so many consultants across the globe. We sit together, we brainstorm, we identify if we succeeded, why did we succeed, if we are feeling, why are we feeling, what we should repeat, what we should not repeat. And then over the period of time, we developed our R&D also. And then Center of Excellence team. So now the global team works, and gradually, we went to each country, knowing their culture, understanding, customizing program for them. Most of the organization are very cosmo. People are from Germany, from Japan, from Vietnam, from all part of the world. The common thing was only English language. other than English language, the common thing was a smile. So we actually build with a smile with each other, and that you know, relationship build up. So we go, we have all counselors in local languages available. So our training is also very, very strong, and our research is also very strong. So that we understood that if we are scaling up, we cannot make ourselves fool. We have to think beyond, you know, clinical mindset, that, you know, people have some issue, they are coming to us, we are just seeing them, writing a report and going back. We have to think beyond that. We have to think with the organization. And that, you know, merging with the organization helped us to, you know, grow a little faster, because we know their language. They might not be knowing our medical language, but we were knowing their language, attrition, you know, productivity, shrinkages. So then, you know, we start understanding problems, particular line of business having a different problem, then we have curated different programs for them. For example, our strength is lying in BPOs and engineering services. So the program which we give to engineering and manufacturing services, that is phenomenal, because we know their, you know, nuances, what would be the laborers feeling, what is their, you know, site managers are feeling, or what is the project managers. So hierarchy wise challenges, rectifying them. So that all is very interesting also. So that is how we spread it. So first we started our office in Gurgaon, and second office we started in Hyderabad, then Bangalore, and then Kuala Lumpur. And then 13 more places in India. And then after Kuala Lumpur, we went to Philippines, Vietnam, Indonesia, entire that belt. Is thankfully BPO and engineering both are working in the same belt where our strength is lying. So our clients are there, so we are.
Wow. And I'm sure looking back, like Steve Jobs says, and connecting the dots, there will be so many moments of recognition and special moments that you really cherish. Are there any such moments of recognition or unforgettable moments in your journey where you've spread so much globally, which you really are very happy you're part of?
So generally, you know, these, I never participate in any awards, you know, because there is fees or something. I hardly participate. And then nomination forms are also very long, which I don't have that patience. But some organization have recognized and they have done everything on our behalf. And I received an award in Healthcare Leadership Award 2 years ago. I think in 2020 March, which was, you know, out of the blue, which I have never participated. I have never nominated me. So how did they do? So you know, then you feel it is an authentic award which you are, you know, receiving. I can say that, you know, that was something which I don't know, from out of blue it came. But there are so many moments, Rashmi. But why I am not able to recall and tell you something? I told you I was a loner child and I have read very good books. So, you know, letting go is not only about letting go the bad moment. We should know also to let go the good moment also. And that's where you become a neutral person. If we start cherishing our success too much, now you don't know when ego will come and you know, cover you up, hug you tightly. So I live very consciously. So I was always very, very, you know, careful about it, that my success should not make my, you know, next step bitter for anyone. So there are so many, you know, moments of recognition in each organization we have worked. But I think the way I let go my failures, I actually let go my success also.
This is so much living in the now, Seema. It's all about this moment and what you can make most out of this moment. Because the concept of you and I is the uniqueness and individuality.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. That uniqueness and individuality is what we try and bring out in a conversation in you and I. And that's what you and I stand for. And your journey, specifically for me, has been so unique that we have known each other for a year now, but I've noticed how beautifully and organically your journey has gone. And especially for the rest of the world, the pandemic was pause time and getting into oneself. You The pandemic was very different. So, what are your reflections from the pandemic?
Pandemic was very, very different for us. It was very, very overwhelming. We have to hire people, hire people, hire people. There was so much of quantum of work. Our work grew 12 times. I myself was in, you know, April COVID, which was the peak. And I can't tell you how did I work in that, you know, with all my fatigue and weakness. But there was no scope for, you know, running away from your work. And training people at that time, building teams, that was difficult thing. The most, even then, the most difficult thing was, you know, there were so many people who were dying. And I remember, you know, one of my patients, old patient, was crying because he was not finding any, you know, slot for cremating his dad. And, you know, then I said, you know, don't worry, I'll pray for it. And you will soon get the slot. And then, you know, after a day, he called and he was sounding happy. Ma'am, with your prayers, I got the slot for cremation. And at that day, I was thinking at life, you know, he's happy because he's getting the slot. That gave me a little more understanding of human mind. That, you know, by all hook and crook, we know how to cope up. So life is larger than anything. We should not give up so easily. Life force is so vital, and at times we do not realize it. We get away with the smaller problems. Ek breakup ho gaya, people wish to commit suicide. Ek job chali gayi, they go into depression. They are not their job, they are not their relationship. They are more than that. And that is very, very important to know. To make yourself realize you are not your success, you are not your failure. You are you more than anything else. That's the most important thing to take care.
So beautifully said. You are you, not your success or your failure. You are like actually taking the essence of the Bhagavad Gita and saying it here, because that is very important for us as far as detachment is concerned. As so, when are you going to put all of these amazing stories and your journey in a place chronicle so the world can read what Seema is all about? Any idea?
Rashmi, a lot many people have asked me to write a book about me. Again, you know, I'm repeating the same thing. I really don't want world to listen to my story and imbibing them in that. They have their own journey. What I can do, I will definitely, you know, look for a 100-page book which will be only talking about some strength characters, which even, you know, day to day, if they can imbibe in that, which was naturally coming to me. Thankfully, God was kind, but it worked well. And I think these are the core strength pillars which will help others to do. So I'll definitely, you know, write that very soon. I have already started collating few things. I'm also waiting a little more experience through this, you know, youngster's journey, because I'm reliving my teenage with them, because I don't know when my teenage came and went back. I don't know. So I'm really reliving with my, you know, so many young mental health advocates. And then I will also incorporate those learning and systems there.
So has the little loner Seema changed over a period of time to the Seema that we see today? Or is that loner still there?
I have, now there is no time to feel, you know, that solitude. First of all, I enjoy solitude because that gives me energy to do better. But my circle is so, so wide. So that's first thing I have realized. If you want to remain happy, you have to make your circle wider. Otherwise, you will be expecting everything from one or two people. The more you restrict your world, you are inviting unhappiness. A person cannot be there with you for 24/7. So that independent, that wing, that, you know, giving people that freedom, you can only give once you feel free. So that, you know, I think I don't feel lonely at all. Sometimes, you know, I crave for my loneliness and solitude if I get it. I look for some time for that. So for that is the only time that I wake up early. When the entire world is sleeping, so I get my me time.
Great, great. Another happy note, three life lessons, Seema.
Three life lessons which I created over the period of time is universal law of peace. It has three things. First is ignore. what is not serving good purpose to you, ignore. It could be very interesting, very beautiful, but ignore if it is not serving purpose to you. Second thing is accept people and situation around you. Rather than changing them, better to, you know, accept them. But third is change. Change when it is necessary. Don't try to change everything. Don't try to control, but change if it is necessary. For example, in a lot, many people think if they will follow me, what they will do without context, you know, they will say that we can't change our situations. So hum husband se maar khate rehte. So that is not acceptance. Here I am not. Here I am talking about change. Change when it is necessary. So sometimes, you know, that's why I'm a little scared of, you know, giving any life lessons without context. People might use it in a wrong way. I keep reading about, you know, be yourself. This is the most scary sentence to say everything. You look at the youth, they will, you know, watch Netflix, put sutta by being themselves only. This is the most scary sentence, be yourself. Don't be yourself. Please keep improving. We human are meant for progression, not for stagnation.
What a powerful statement. We humans are meant for progression, not stagnation. Thank you so much, Seema. I'm sure everyone who comes in touch with you doesn't leave you because you're so, so addicted. God bless you. And I'm honored to have had you.
Really a pleasure and giving me that safe space to speak out. Thank you so much, Rashmi.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together. Both you and I.